Welcome to the Band of Gamers podcast, episode number 2. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined by DBQ Hams and Osiris Prime again. Guys, I hope everything's going well. I'm gonna toss it to you, DB. Why don't you tell us what you've been playing this week?
So I've been playing a handful of stuff, really. This weekend has been a whole lot of Destiny for me. I guess that's catching up with other people on Destiny. I finally did a Vault of Glass raid on Friday night and finished that out. And this yesterday, I ended up on my second character finally hitting 30, which means I can do some extra nightfalls and weeklies and grabbing more gear and loot. Really, you know, the idea of loot is always an interesting piece with Destiny and whether or not the loot is good or the system is good, especially with Borderlands, the Handsome Jack collection coming on the horizon. You know, that maybe that's a topic that we pick up another time in terms of what makes good loot and where is that loop in terms of the loop for loot, right? That's a mouthful. But really, my rest of the week has been picking up a bunch of Nintendo stuff, actually. Last weekend, I played some Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, that new Kirby game that came out, which is the sequel to Canvas Curse. The claymation art style is really endearing. It's really, I hate to use the word cute, but it's really creative, really cute, very artistic. I was listening to IGN's Nintendo voice chat, and they were talking about, IGN has a feature up with some of the creators of that game, and they were talking about how, you know, it can take a couple hours to make one of the characters, because they actually modeled them in clay and did some stop motion stuff for the piece. But some of the landscapes that they created ended up taking 3 months to create. So really interesting just from a kind of creative standpoint. In terms of the actual game, though, I really enjoyed Canvas Curse back on the DS back in 2005, 2006. Really creative, fun way to use the touchscreen. In terms of how it plays out here, it's still kind of the same, but it's not as creative. You don't end up picking up powers, so you're really just Kirby rolling in a ball and tapping. And some of the bosses, the way that the levels are designed, it doesn't really lend itself really well to that type of rolling, drawing type of gameplay. I ended up playing with my sons, and you can play up to 4 people co-op, and the other 3 people end up playing it like a traditional Kirby game, with one of the little side characters, and you jump and side-scroll. It's a 2D platformer game at that stage, and that was a whole lot more enjoyable. It's fun as a traditional side-scroller, and while the drawing is unique, it doesn't necessarily make it good. Last week, I also talked about picking up the new 3DS, which means that I've been going back to my back catalog and throwing a lot of stuff in just to see how it plays out. I played Bravely Default, Fire Emblem, Link Between Worlds, all good RPGs. Bravely Default, lots of kind of loot loops there as well. If we're going to bring back to that Destiny topic in terms of just climbing to the next spot to grab more gear to get more gear or a new job class. Thinking about our conversation last week where we talked about classic gaming and enjoying kind of those old school Atari and NES games, you know, cutting our teeth on old school gaming, Bravely Default definitely goes back to that type of JRPG. If you enjoyed that while you were younger, it's fun. My son and I have been playing NES Remix on the 3DS, which is a fun mix of the stuff that was on the Wii U, and those are great kind of mashed up versions of classic NES games. And if you're a Final Fantasy fan, the other game I've been playing, which actually I've been playing probably the most of out of those 3DS games, more than just throw them in, play a little bit, and check out what the 3D looks like as I pivot my head around, was Theatrhythm, that Final Fantasy music rhythm game, Theatrhythm Curtain Call. It now doesn't actually use the touch. It uses the touchscreen, but you can also use the controls, and it makes it a whole lot more precise. Actually, this week it's on sale at Best Buy, actually, for like $20. So if you've enjoyed old Final Fantasy games or new Final Fantasy games, there's a ton of content there. And so So yeah, a real mixture of stuff in terms of modern shooters and kind of revisiting some nostalgic classics. How about you, Prime?
Yeah, so I actually only was able to play the last couple days. I was pretty busy during the week, but I've touched on a good variety of games. So as usual, I was playing Call of Duty, which I don't know if I was just having a bad weekend or what, but I was just getting massacred this week, and I got pretty aggravated. So that kind of pushed me off, and I was I jumped onto Minecraft for a little while. I actually did a Twitch stream on Friday night, I believe it was, for about 45 minutes or so. So just going through one of my worlds, building stuff, and then continued on my back catalog with Battlefield 4, the single-player campaign. So I did a couple levels there. So hopefully in the next couple weeks I can finish that and move on. And then I was playing Disney Infinity 2.0 with my son the other couple days ago, too, actually on Friday, earlier in the day. So I was playing, well, actually he played probably more than I did. I just kind of watched him and then helped him if he needed help. So that was kind of a fun little distraction. And then I believe, kind of to finish off Friday night and Saturday night, I was playing a little bit of Destiny 2, and that was just mostly in the Crucible. So which actually I was doing a lot better than I was doing in Call of Duty. So I don't know, I just had to have my FPS multiplayer fix, so I jumped back into Destiny for a little bit. Didn't really get too much, though, as far as loot, which, like you kind of touched on, can be kind of frustrating. Even in the Crucible, it seems to be so random when you get something. So I think I just got a couple of helmets and maybe like a chest plate or whatever, the armor, the chest armor, but nothing too great. So, and then that's pretty much it. So how about you, Gray?
Thanks, Prime. I've been working a couple jobs and actually working on the new Band of Gamers website and an upgrade to the Casual Adult Gamers and some other things. So didn't get a lot of gaming in this week. Do some major updates on my laptop. Got the big PAX East. I'll talk about that a little bit in a little bit later. But I had to update all my games. I kind of went overboard. I think I updated like 20 games. So Battlefield 4 and Skyrim and just anything that was worth playing. If I'm tired from walking around the show, I wanted to update on my laptop. But when I did game, I was on the Xbox One playing Destiny. You know, just doing strikes and doing patrols and trying to rank up. I got a level 30 hunter that's almost 31, and I got some gaming in with Bobo. I got some gaming in with Mace, Bite, and others. Actually got to do the Raid of Crota with my buddy Guthook and Paraord and Brutu and his son, I forget his name. But that was very interesting to go through that and do that with some experienced guys. And the biggest thing, and I guess the first thing I want to talk about, is as I was playing later in the week, Destiny released an update to their app. And it now allows you to move loot, or not loot, but to move items, weapon, gear, and whatever, between your characters in the vault from your tablet or your mobile device, or I think even your PC. But the companion app, this is so cool. So I had moved all my stuff into my warlock because I'm trying to rank him up. But then I wanted to play my higher level guy because I wanted to go get some strange coins and buy some stuff from Xur. So I just sat there on my iPad and moved the stuff out of my warlock into the vault and then from the vault into my hunter, and I watched it pop up on the screen as I was doing it. Very, very cool. If you're playing Destiny and you have any type of anything that'll run that companion app, it can be a lifesaver because otherwise you'd have to log out, log in as your other guy, fly to the tower, run over to the vault, do whatever you need to do, log out, log back in, fly over to the tower, get your stuff out of the vault, and then go back to orbit, and then go to your mission. This way, you can just do everything from the app while you're flying between missions. It's awesome. Thank you, Bungie, for that awesome app. It's really, really cool. So that's just an error. I've been telling everybody I know who plays Destiny all about it, because it is so cool. And besides that, I've been thinking about PAX East. So PAX East is a it stands for Penny Arcade Expo. I don't know much about the Penny Arcade and their cartoons and their website, But I do know this. PAX is a gaming convention, kind of like E3 in a way, but it's open to the public. Now, you have to buy tickets. There is limited space in the convention center. But starting last year, I started doing the BYOC, or bring your own computer, as well as attending the show for 3 days. And it is an utter awesome blast to be in a PC LAN party, as well as walking around the lodges to open to the public gaming show. And it's PAX East is right here in Boston, so I'm only like 3 hours away. So myself, my son, and three of his friends will go and hang out there for a long weekend next weekend, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's a good time. So I don't know. Have you guys ever heard of PAX or ever gone to a PAX?
I haven't. I know some people that have. I've following gaming media that PAX East out in Boston has been a huge success, and with PAX Prime up in Seattle, and this past fall they had PAX Austin, right? PAX South down in Austin, and a couple years ago they started the PAX over in Australia as well, which is a really interesting piece of it. I think, as we mentioned last week, we'd love to have a PAX Central, right? Like in Chicago or up in Canada someplace. It'd be interesting to see. But yeah, it really has been a huge kind of community event that there's a lot of board gaming that goes on and LAN parties and all kinds of stuff. And it's, it certainly is, publishers use it for some press, but at the same time, it still has a real community focus to it.
Yeah, that's so true. How about you, Prime? Any ever heard of PAX or PAX East, PAX Prime, or ever attend one?
No, unfortunately, I've never attended one. I'm here in the Midwest, outside of Chicago, so they're pretty spread out for me, kind of right in the middle of all three of them. But yeah, I have heard of it. I saw the coverage on it, and actually, I forgot what podcast I was listening to when the PAX South had finished. But I guess they had a pretty big like board game and card game area. So I don't know if you're into that, Gray or DB, but I guess that was something big. I don't know if it's like that at all the PAXes, but I guess they had a pretty big area for that kind of gaming. So
yeah, at PAX East, it is. It's huge. The board game and miniature game area is absolutely huge. And they have a lot of vendors there selling specialty tables for people who like to play a lot of board and card and miniature type games. And they are just beautiful. They're just absolutely gorgeous looking. So, no, it's a huge piece of it. Now, I'm not into Magic. I'm not into any of the miniature games.
D&D.
But they look really cool. D&D, yeah, they look really, really cool. But my brother is, but I've just never got into it. Well, that was what I wanted to talk about this week. DB, what did you bring with you this week to talk about?
So I did bring an article, but I wanted to go back to that Bungie app first as well and just say, you're right, it really does make a big difference. Talking with people in some strikes in the last couple of days, they're calling in resupplies of ether seeds or heavy ammo synths, things where you used to really have to stock up at back and forth at the vault, or I juggled plenty of characters the whole logging in and out, and so now being able to do it really does, it streamlines the game. It starts to make... It makes me interested to see what this is going to look like in a couple years in terms of thinking about it like an MMO, in terms of how it continues to evolve and how you're integrating it in different areas of media as well. So the news article that I wanted to bring up was a study out by Nielsen this week. It was covered in multiple gaming sites, so you might have seen it on Polygon or on Kotaku or other places. But it was a study from this generation of console owners looking at who owns what system and what systems they've owned last generation. And the thing that I found really interesting is the pull between former either 360 owners or PS3 owners and where they've gone, and whether Sony and Microsoft have held on to their base or if one's starting to pull off from the other. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's on any of the major gaming news site, or actually I'm pulling my numbers right from Nielsen itself. Do a Nielsen in video games and look up the most recent article, their most recent survey. But the statistics that I want to bring up are So of current PS4 owners, 66% of them, you know, owned a PS3, and that 59% owned a 360 in the last generation and now own a PS4. So 59% of 360 owners now own a PS4 in terms of that, of those that own, those that are surveyed. So again, this isn't total PS4 owners, but it gives you an idea of the percentage. And that's not a whole lot different in terms of getting close to about two-thirds on both consoles of 360 and PS3. But on the Xbox One, 360 owners who now have an Xbox One, 76%. So a real high percentage there of Microsoft kind of holding on to its base, keeping people in that infrastructure. But the interesting thing, and I guess this is played out in the NPD numbers in terms of which consoles are selling more, is that 43% of PS3 owners now have an Xbox One. So, sure, I'm in that category of owning a PS3 and not having a 360 and moving into that infrastructure, but that's a much bigger percentage swing from 59 and 66 in terms of about two-thirds moving with PS4, whether you were Microsoft or Sony, but moving on to the Xbox One, very, very much keeping within the Microsoft family and not pulling nearly as many PS3 owners over to the Xbox One side. So I think that's a really interesting stat. The survey also talks about why people might have moved, but what do you guys think in terms of those percentages? Does that play out with the experience that you've had online in terms of talking with friends in terms of those that are moving from one console to the other?
You know, I'll go ahead and jump in. This is Gray. You know, I was kind of surprised by that a little. I mean, we all know that Microsoft with the Xbox One had a very rocky launch. They had a lot of DRM that they were saying they were going to have. They had a very high price with the integrated Kinect. I'm wondering if that's what has to do with it, because when it came time for me to go next gen, I've been a big Xbox fan. I was a Dreamcast fan before that, and really never got into the PlayStation. I did end up picking up a PlayStation 3, and I love Uncharted, one of my favorite games of all time. But Uncharted 2, that is. But when it came time for next gen, I'm like, I'm staying with Microsoft. If I have to pay a monthly subscription to play online, well, most of my friends, I got 100-plus friends on my friends list, they're on the Xbox. So I wonder why. Why do you guys think that is, that so many Xbox fans jumped fence? You think that initial crop of early adopters would have been evened out or overwhelmed or mitigated some with over a year of better press from Microsoft. So what do you think, Prime?
Yeah, it kind of didn't surprise me when I saw this. I guess kind of because of the same reason, though, because, you know, when Xbox, or Microsoft, I should say, you know, came out of the gate, they were pretty much stumbling with how they're presenting the Xbox One. Myself, I didn't really see a problem with it, kind of being that always online. I mean, I'm always online anyways. I always have it connected to the internet, so, I mean, it really didn't bother me. And, I don't know, and then another reason, too, obviously, was the PS4 was $100 cheaper, so that probably helped a lot, too. Which kind of goes back to, you know, when the Wii had first come out and, you know, the 360 and the PS3 were coming out. Obviously, the Wii was selling like gangbusters because it was, you know, pretty, I think, about 100 or 200 cheaper than the other two consoles? Maybe 150 or something like that. So, I mean, the cheaper price probably helped, too. Yeah, so the cheaper price probably helped too. So yeah, I mean, for myself, when I was trying to make that decision, I've always been, I always went the Nintendo route. I was always, you know, Super Nintendo, or excuse me, Nintendo Entertainment System, you know, all the way up to the Wii, and then basically when the Wii U and the Xbox One were about to come out, I actually made the decision not to buy the Wii U because I could only buy one. And, you know, everybody I played with was on the Xbox 360. Yeah, obviously they had the better online infrastructure, so I just kind of went with the one, and, you know, at least that was for me.
You know, as I look at it, the PS3 was definitely a phenomenal piece of hardware, but the online infrastructure was not very good. I mean, being able to create a party, cross-game chat, finding people, trying to connect with people. The PS3 doesn't even come with a mic in the box. So my experience, I mean, I got a PS3, I wanted to play it. I got Gran Turismo, I wanted to play it. Burnout and other games. Did play. I would say a fair amount of co-op or three-player co-op. I guess it was Uncharted 2. But hands down, the Xbox had it all over as far as the user interface. The PS3. Now, I find the Xbox One user interface a little confusing. I think the thing should have started up with a primer for 360 users because I'm still learning stuff. But that said, I couldn't trust myself with a PS4. Having had that bad experience with the PS3. Well, what are your thoughts, DB? What do you think this is the way it is?
So I think you guys are all spot on in terms of some of the struggles out of the gate with Microsoft, thinking about price point. You know, I think in some ways the numbers of, 76% of 360 owners stick within the infrastructure and go to Xbox One. You know, I think with those stumbles and those PR nightmares that Microsoft had in terms of the DRM pieces, you know, the people like you, Gray, who were in that infrastructure, it was easy to stay in because you knew what you were getting. You knew, that value that you were paying for. I think for people that, the nice thing about the PS3 was that you didn't have to pay to play online, that it was free. One of the reasons why I went PS3 last generation was both kind of the stealth Blu-ray player as a family unit, because we had a Wii U and was looking for something, and needing or wanting a Blu-ray, but also the fact of not having to pay another layer on top of it. Or if I was going to pay, I'm only paying for PS Plus and getting multiple free games every month. And so as a family with kids, that was an option, that was a better option for us. You know, I think moving to the next generation, there were people that still had that brand loyalty, certainly, but I think on the casual end of it, you had people who were looking for the next console and knew that there were two new ones out, and one was $100 cheaper. That's pretty easy for the casual person or family member buying something to say, yeah, I'm going to grab this one. I mean, look at when Microsoft slashed the Xbox One price over the holidays, that they jumped up and won in the NPD numbers for the first time ever on this console generation because their price was finally cheaper. You know, price makes a difference. But I also think that on the hardcore side, for those people that maybe were platform agnostic or had both consoles, that as they were looking, the way that Microsoft certainly pulled a Sony during last generation of coming out and being very blatant in terms of we can do no wrong and you want to play games on our system, so here's the DRM stuff. You know, as you're talking about Prime, it really wasn't that big of a deal, but I think the tone that they struck when they rolled it out certainly pushed off some of the more engaged hardcore gamers. You know, the fact that Sony got a standing ovation, and Jack Tretton, went out on a high note with lots of claps and applause during that E3 as they were poking and jabbing at Microsoft. So I think, because of the cheaper price on the less engaged side and the kind of attitude on the hardcore side, I could see where people were pulled in that direction. And the PS4, as you're talking about interfaces, it does have a great interface. It fixes a lot of the stuff that the PS3 did. So, if people are out there listening and are not on either one yet, or, feel good about your purchase. Truthfully, there's so many multi-platform games nowadays that you can still enjoy a lot of stuff regardless of which one you pick up.
Yeah, I would say poll your friends, the people you're likely to play with, poll them. And if they all have PS4s, definitely get a PS4. If they all have Xbox Ones, get an Xbox One. But at the end of the day, if you don't have friends that are online gaming, you'll have to go out of your way on either console to find people. Whether you go to forums or you go to the actual manufacturer's website's forum or whatever, or if you're just friendly online, you won't automatically make friends without making some effort. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, I don't know if it's actually been released yet. I think it's on the preview update on the Xbox One, but there's actually suggested friends now. I'm assuming if you have at least a few friends, it actually pulls friends from those people that maybe you're not friends with and say, hey, hey, you might want to, join up with this person. I'm not sure how it works if you didn't, didn't have anybody, but I'm assuming you need to have at least a couple people. So there's that, at least on the Xbox side. So that's kind of a nice feature that they're throwing in there. I think that's for the March update when that comes out, probably. I think they usually release it like mid-month or so. Anything else, DB?
No, I think, I mean, if you, for people listening, thinking about why people jumped on board those different sites or the different platforms, there's some interesting pieces there, but I think we've covered a lot of it. One of the things that people get engaged with their games is when they cross over to different media. And so you had an article about Telltale Prime. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I'm gonna just touch on the article itself just for a minute, just kind of go through it real quick, and then kind of broaden it out to just games in general. Excuse me, I got this off of Destructoid, Destructoid.com. So it's talking about Telltale Games. If you don't know who they are, they make, they've made The Walking Dead seasons 1 and 2, Wolf Among Us. They just did Game of Thrones season 1. Don't think season 2's out here yet. And Tales from the Borderlands, and I believe a few years ago they had did Sam and Max, and then I think they did the remake for Monkey Island. Those are all adventure games. So they are going to be bringing out, and it doesn't say when exactly, but they're going to be bringing out a new game, and it's an original IP of theirs, and they're going to integrate it into a TV show also somehow. So. So basically, it doesn't really give any examples or kind of explain how they're going to do it yet, but somehow, the in-game decisions is going to affect the TV show. And it kind of reminds me of another game that's, I think it's supposed to come out this year. I don't think there's a definite date yet, though. Quantum Break, which, and then I think there's some confusion with this game that I've seen on forums and stuff, but basically, on the disc or the digital download, if you're going to download it digitally, it's going to have the game and actually a TV show kind of intermingled with each other. So basically, when you're going through the story and you make a decision, then I'm assuming that what it sounds like it's going to do, it's going to break to like the TV show part, and it kind of goes along the path that you chose. So kind of like a choose your adventure book. When you're a kids, you come to. Say for example, and this is—I'm just throwing this out there. I don't think this has ever happened, but like Jack and Jill's coming up the hill. Do they want to go up the hill or do they want to go around it? So you pick something, and then it follows that path. So, and then that kind of got me thinking on just kind of games in general on how they expand out into different forms of media like TV shows and books and comic books, movies. So a couple examples. Obviously, if you follow Halo, they've got a lot of novels that they've produced, comic books. They've done movies and well, like kind of like made for TV, I guess you want to say movies that they just released, like on the Xbox system, Xbox Live, and then other ones like Gears of War. I know they have books and or novels and comic books and stuff like that. And then, but I was just thinking. When they do this and when they're expanding out into different forms of media, do you think like when they go to make that next game, do you think they hold back on some of the story to, so they can tell it somewhere else, and does that hinder that game? And kind of example that comes to mind, and I don't think there's any like books or comic books, but Destiny, I think a lot of people can agree that it's pretty light on story. But if you go to Bungie.net, they have the, and I might be pronouncing this wrong, but the Grimoire cards, where basically that's, it kind of tells you, all about your allies and about the enemies and the different places like the Moon, Venus, like kind of stuff that's happened on the on those planets, in the past, why everything's going on. So I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you think sometimes kind of going into those other forms of media can hinder a game?
This is a huge area that I have enjoyed over the years. The expanded universe of things. Regardless of how much Telltale's example sounds like a bad early 1990s full motion video type of game where you're making a choice and going left or right and getting another bad clip. But I think the technology is there, and especially with things like, you know, streaming series of, you know, with Netflix and Amazon, that you could push that whole series out alongside the same time as that download comes, and it really has the potential to be interesting. In terms of expanded universe, I read the Halo books before I played Halo. I was big into the Star Wars expanded universe before they rebooted everything. You know, I have read a lot of the Mass Effect and Dragon Age fiction, both in comic books with Dark Horse and in novels. And, you know, I think that for me, as somebody who enjoys games because of the narrative and experiencing that story, getting into that larger world gives a lot more a texture and character and flavor to the decisions and the experiences that I have as I'm going through those games. So, you know, the Halo universe has been huge in books, you know, whether it's the original three that kind of tell what happens to John Spartan before the first game happens, or the things that bridge between the different games, or that tell side stories. You know, I think that those are good things. Whether or not they hold back, the biggest money they make is going to be in the games, and so I doubt that they're holding back story pieces for another media, unless it's a project where it's specifically designed like this, like with Telltale, obviously, or Quantum Break. They're going to be making sure that they parse that out between those two areas. Truthfully, with Destiny, from the very beginning when it launched, I have been eager for some type of other media experience. You know, I've reading the Grimoire cards, but they've created such a rich universe but told such a poor story in it that at some point in time, there's plenty of characters and or the potential to create characters, because they haven't created many at all. And, you know, throw it out to other authors and let people explore that universe that they've created and put some flavor, put some texture there, so that we can live in that world a little more deeply.
Yeah, and I'll jump in. I have to say that over the years, I have enjoyed continuing the story with books and like Halo, for instance. I've read several of the books. I think the first and third book were my favorites, but there were a couple other good ones in there too. They're also great on audiobook too. We took a long trip for a CAGFest out to Cleveland one year, and my son and I listened to the Halo book on the way out, and it was a blast. It just made the time fly by because it's so engrossing. I think I read the first of the Mass Effect books, and that was excellent as well. And I've enjoyed some of the movies and the other, you know, spinoffs of some of the games. I think sometimes they take it too far. I think when you take it too far, if you thin it out, if you water it down, you know, the whole thing can come down crashing on top of you. So I think, you know, it's good for these. It's good for, you know, when fans want more of something, you know, give it to them, you know. For instance, Destiny, they released a soundtrack for $10, and it's great. I think they held back on that. I didn't feel like I got all the music, but it was still great to listen to and for a very reasonable price. I guess we could have a whole show about Destiny. And I still think they owe us some additional cutscenes for the first part of the game, but it's a great game. It's just they were known for some epic cutscenes that we never got. But no, I agree. Those are the ways I've enjoyed the expanded universes. I think the Halo movies have been so-so. I mean, there's been great parts of them, but then so-so parts in them. So, but I'm looking forward to more. I'd like to see. I enjoyed the first two Resident Evil movies. After that, I kind of lost interest in them. But I'm trying to think of other. We could probably have a whole show just on good games that were turned into good movies, or good movies that were turned into good games.
Yeah, there hasn't. I don't know if there's been a whole lot of successful video games, or at least for me, the Resident Evil ones weren't too bad. I mean, they're kind of, they turned more into like an action flick, but they still weren't. They weren't all that bad. But yeah. I just thought it was an interesting article, just to bring up some conversation. Any of you guys excited for Quantum Break? I know I think they released a video a few months ago, or sometime last year, I should say. Just kind of more gameplay than they've actually shown in the past, so it actually looks pretty cool.
Well, I'll tell you,
I haven't
I've
seen
seen
enough
it.
about it.
Oh, go ahead, DB.
Oh no, it's okay. I just really haven't seen enough about it. I remember the E3 trailer when it was released, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm glad you brought it up because if it really does manifest in this way, it could be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what the next game I'll have after Destiny is. I thought it was going to be Halo Master Chief Collection, and I really, really would love to get back to that and play that through. But Destiny's just such a, I mean, to me, it's like Rainbow Six Vegas 2, Terrorist Hunt. It's a game I could play for years. But I've been looking at The Division. I don't know. I don't know if the next Battlefield's going to do it for me. How about you guys? What if there's one game on your horizon? What is it?
I think it's coming out in. I think they pushed it back to May, April or May, but The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, I believe, is like the title of it. That looks like it's going to be a really good game. It's kind of in the vein of like Skyrim or Dragon Age, kind of open world RPG, and it just the game itself just looks beautiful. I mean, that alone, it looks like it's. I could bite on that, but I mean, the story looks like it's gonna be really good, and just the gameplay mechanics—they look like they're pretty solid. So, and the first two, I don't think they did super well, but they were pretty critically acclaimed, at least by by various websites, and even though maybe they didn't sell a whole lot, like everybody who bought it just loved the game. So, I don't know if you guys are big RPG fans, but that's one on the horizon I'm looking forward to. How about you, DB?
I do enjoy an RPG. I haven't played The Witcher though. I mean, I've heard great things, and as somebody who has logged three different playthroughs into the Mass Effect and the Dragon Age just to get all the different variants of stories out of them, The Witcher is one of those that should be up my alley. I just haven't sunk my teeth into it. So yeah, Witcher 3 could be really interesting. Truthfully, there's not a ton that's out on the horizon for me. I've been thinking about this past week, thinking about pre-order stuff, and I'm kind of interested to see how the Elder Scrolls Online transition to consoles go, and now that we won't have a online monthly subscription, I think that might bode well for it. But things coming out this spring, there's not a whole lot on my horizon that is exciting. I think there's some things coming in the fall that were announced last E3, but maybe that's a good thing because, like you said, Gray and Prime, we all have backlogs and collections to work through. So maybe I'm just content with reminding myself of that sometimes.
Yeah, I'm very content with my backlog. Well, I don't know. Uncontent, maybe. I got too many.
I wanted to jump in and say one thing for anybody listening. You had talked about the Destiny soundtrack that if anybody has Amazon Prime and that you get your Prime Music, there's a lot of new music that comes out on Prime that's free to listen to or download, and three quarters of the Destiny soundtrack is free on Prime. I ended up picking that up. I didn't actually buy it because I listened to most of the free stuff, but there's a number of game soundtracks that are out there. So if people have Amazon Music and Prime account, it's something to kind of poke around at and see what's out there.
I'm gonna have to check into that. I do have Prime.
Yeah, so do I. So that's good to know. Yeah, I just picked it up a couple months ago.
And let me just throw in this. I'm looking at the time. We're starting to run out. If any of you guys want to, anybody listening to this, want to continue the conversation, you can usually find us some point in the week at casualadultgamers.com. Now, eventually, we will have our own website just for the podcast, but we all hang out there, and you can find us online. You can find me on Xbox One. So if you're looking for somebody to play Eastern evenings, Destiny on the Xbox One, you can look me up, Greylock3491. Guys, before we sign off, any parting words, any goals for the week, or anything you want to say before we close out the show?
I just want to say thanks for putting this together, Gray. We've gotten some feedback on it in terms of things, and hopefully we can take those into account as we go forward.
Yes, definitely. Thanks, Gray. Yeah, hopefully we can have some more people come in every once in a while, get some other voices out there. And yeah, everybody have a good week. Play those games.
Well, thank you guys for joining me. I just love, we'll see you in the forums, and I just love playing games, and I'm so thankful you guys joined with me to put this podcast on this week. It's always a lot of fun, and you definitely want to invite the crew out there to join us. You just need a microphone and Ventrilo, which is free, and we have all the information at casualadultgamers.com on how to get to the Ventrilo server. So invite, please drop in if you don't have to have a, if we have room in the Ventrilo server, you're welcome to join us. Although this is a non-explicit podcast, so we just ask to leave all the F-bombs behind. But well, that's it, guys. Thank you again. This is episode 2 of Band of Gamers signing off. And thank you, DBQ Hams and Osiris Prime, for joining me, Greylock3491. And until next time, peace out, everybody.